Today on Real Radio.
The only divorce that we should be talking about as Christians, quite frankly, is the divorce that should take place regarding our lives and our own agendas. There should be a great divorce regarding that. Unfortunately, the Bible speaks about divorce. The Pharisees of old spoke about divorce. Moses spoke about divorce. Jesus spoke about it. But the Bible's very clear about this thing called divorce. Noah Webster, by the way, in his 1828 Dictionary of the American Language, speaks about divorce as being a severing, of being a dissecting of two people that have been bonded together to take them apart. Divorce. Spiritually, it's a violent thing.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always. My days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible, a topical series based on scriptural wisdom that guides us believers in practical and godly living. Some of the titles in this series so far, being a Christian in your home, in the workplace, on campus, and so forth. Well, recently, our teacher has been dealing with the issue of divorce and what scripture says about it. And what we're about to hear is the next part of this series called Being a Christian and Surviving Divorce. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Being a Christian, and now we come to part three of what is entitled Surviving Divorce. It's a terrible thing to even talk about because divorce is not what God wants to see happen among his children. And yet divorce happens. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and understand, or with all spiritual understanding and wisdom, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption even through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. The only divorce that we should be talking about as Christians, quite frankly, is the divorce that should take place regarding our lives and our own agendas. There should be a great divorce regarding that. Unfortunately, the Bible speaks about divorce. The Pharisees of old spoke about divorce. Moses spoke about divorce. Jesus spoke about it. But the Bible's very clear about this thing called divorce. Noah Webster, by the way, in his 1828 Dictionary of the American Language, speaks about divorce as being a severing, of being a dissecting of two people that have been bonded together to take them apart. Divorce. Spiritually, it's a violent thing. Emotionally, it's a violent thing. It's a terrible thing. It causes great pain. It's an overt act that you and I need to employ in obedience to God if we are going to see our local culture. You and I have no control over the culture at large, but we do have control over the culture of our lives. And it's going to take an overt act of obedience, my friends, and listen, what I'm going to be saying is so foreign to the culture that you and I live in, that it is not about us. It's not about our feelings. It's not about what we want if we're Christians. It's about what God wants and what God has declared to be right. And you say, well, Jack, where's the fun in all that? There may not be any fun in all that, but there may be joy in it. There may be a good life in it. There may be a meaningful life in it. And let me tell you something. There'll be a successful, wonderful home in it. Marriage is a sacrifice. Marriage is a ministry. And as I mentioned before, God did not invent marriage to make us happy. God invented marriage to make us holy. That's why Christ is a picture of the husband and the church is a picture of the bride of Christ in the Bible, but we need to obey him as we approach now this third study regarding divorce. And tonight we're looking at the challenge of surviving divorce. By way of introduction, Jesus spoke in Matthew 7:20. He said, "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." And then in Luke 6:46, Jesus says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Strong words regarding our fellowship with Christ. And this evening, I'm just going to again act as though all of us in this room are Christians. I'm just going to make that assumption tonight, and I want to say this before we dive into this completely. This has been my personal observation. Maybe yours is different, church, but this has been my personal observation regarding 20 years of pastoring, 30 years of being married, and 33 years of being a Christian. I have never heard someone yet say, "I'm so glad that I got a divorce." I have never heard it. I've never yet heard it. I've never heard someone say, "I am so happy that my first marriage ended." I hear things like, "You know, looking back, maybe we should have made it work out." I've heard people say, "You know what, I had a very bad marriage and I moved on and now my marriage today is fine." I understand that, but I've never heard someone say, "I'm so glad I got a divorce." I want you to be thinking about that for a second. Why would that be true? Even if you have absolute biblical grounds and the divorce is granted and you move on with life and you have a great life now and you have a great wife or a great husband, or maybe you're single now and life is fine, but down deep inside there is that statement within you, and you can agree with what I said a moment ago, that you've never heard someone say, "I'm glad I got a divorce." The reason why it's such a powerful spiritual issue, marriage is, and divorce is the dissolving, the destructing of it. I recently read, "What an abortion is to a child is what divorce is to a marriage." Why? Because marriage is a sacred, divine institution. It's a covenantal agreement between God, between a man and a woman regarding husband and wife. And history, 5,000 years of history, proves that God knows what he's talking about regarding marriage. Jesus said in Matthew 19:5, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so then they are no longer two, but one. Therefore what God has joined together," listen, this is why marriage, when it's separated and divorce, hurts so bad. "What God has put together, let no man separate." Last time in our study together of being a Christian in the midst of a divorce, if you were heading toward a divorce, we looked at those five things, and I won't review them too much in detail, only to bring these things to your remembrance. Number one, if you are in the midst of or heading toward divorce, consider these five things. Number one, seek every biblical directive first before you do anything else. Just because you see the commercial on TV, $99 divorce, go to www.ruinyourlife.com. Don't do it. First, seek every biblical directive from the scriptures. If you don't know them, find them out. Number two, exhaust every opportunity to reconcile with your husband or your wife. We looked at the details of that, that the very ministry of a Christian by the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that God has given you and I the ministry of reconciliation. You and I have the power, the divine power by the Holy Spirit to make up, to say I'm sorry, to say I forgive you, and to start again. Number three, we looked at, really what I stress is the avoiding of the counsel of others. And I don't mean that there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. I know that that's true. But I'm talking about avoiding the counsel of others who would steer you in the wrong direction. A lot of people today will counsel people based upon their own personal previous experience. And they'll tell you what to do. Avoid counsel like that. It's dangerous. Number four, we looked at never let emotions make your decisions. Emotions will always rob us and deceive us. And number five, last time, we looked at this. Find a Christian friend to intercede with you regarding the issues of divorce. So here we go tonight. This is it. Being a Christian and surviving divorce. What about life after a divorce? What do we do? Well, number one, mark it down, healing. You will require time and effort for healing. Mark it down. It's very important. Healing is something, and let's be honest, divorce leaves a gaping hole in the heart of those involved in a divorce. As Christians, if you come to that point where you have been divorced or you've gone through a divorce, what are you to do? Number one, understand that the healing process of God is very, very important. It's going to take time, and it's going to take effort. Effort, I mean this, by applying yourself to the Word of God. We'll hear more of this in a moment. Now remember, tonight I'm assuming you're all Christians. Christians eat the Bible. Christians consume Scripture. It is the very supernatural power of the Word of God that will heal our lives. And then it's going to take time. Because divorce leaves that gaping hole. Each person in their own separate way, and let's think about this for a moment. Even in a non-Christian divorce, two people divorce, they separate, they go off in their separate lives, and that gaping hole still exists. Because if you're a Christian or not, divorce is the ripping apart of an institution that God has ordained. You don't have to be a Christian to recognize the power of marriage. That's why when it's ripped apart, even a non-believer suffers so much pain. Why? There's a great bonding that God supernaturally engineers regarding marriage. And each individual, each husband, and each wife of that marriage that is now dissolved will display their pain in various ways. Healing is a must. Human desire, listen to this. Human desire will always rival the will of God in our lives. You and I will battle human desire, whatever that desire might be. It might be maybe I need to move on with my life. I just got divorced and now I need to get moving. We'll talk more on that as well. No, stop. You need healing. You might be thinking, well, I can't live without somebody, so my husband left me and I need another man. Don't do that. You're setting yourself up for destruction. You need healing, and you need God's healing in your life. It's vital before you move on with your life. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, the Bible says, to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, you and I need to be healed if we've gone through a divorce. Have you gone through a divorce? You need healing, and you need healing by God. And I want to give you this warning. It's very practical. It's not very politically correct to mention, but it's regarding being the victim. You must decide right now, Christian, if you're going to play the victim card or not regarding your divorce. Why is that important? Listen, hear me out. This is painful for some of you. If you feel a need to go about and attack your ex-wife or your ex-husband by tearing them down in the community of friends that you have, listen, you are not healed. That whole situation still controls your life. Christ hasn't been allowed to have control in your life. And by the way, you know that's true. If you have to keep doing that, well, you know what? She was this way, and he was that way, and she would always say this, and he would always do the other thing. Listen, you need to get over the victim card and take that to Christ. You need to take that to Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Here, write this verse down. Don't forget it. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. It's an awesome verse. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. The word cast in the Greek means to heave it, to shovel it, to throw it. And by the way, the word means to keep throwing it. It's almost as though when we are challenged by things that we remember that verse, oh, 1 Peter 5:7, I need to cast this care upon the Lord. As soon as we let go of it and it hits his feet, we run over there and pick it up and start petting it and putting it in our pocket again, and you got to throw it back at the Lord because he wants those things that hurt you. It's vital. Some of the things regarding the victim card sound like this. She really hurt me. He was cheating on me. He never loved me. I never loved her. Listen, you need to stop that now. Christian, I'm speaking to the Christian. If you're a non-believer, you can do whatever you want to do. But the Christian needs to understand, I don't have to carry this any longer. And I'm not talking about the details of how the divorce came about. Could have been a horrible divorce. It could have been a scripturally justified divorce. It doesn't matter. The pain will be the same. Because what God has brought together, no man should separate. And the more a person repeats that mantra of, well, you know what, I was ripped off, I was hurt, I was abused, or whatever the situation might be, you know the need to repeat that about every 60 seconds to make yourself feel better means that you haven't been healed by the power of God. And let me tell you tonight, God wants to heal you. This is step one. I don't have step two. This is just step one, so mark it down. I just wrote myself this little note. Step one, get on with it. Get on with it. Get on with what? Get on with this. Take the pain to Jesus, and if you need to, go have a good cry at the foot of the cross, but take it to Jesus. Are you hurting tonight because of a divorce? Go to Jesus. Go get alone. Get to the foot of the cross and cry out to him if you want, and leave it with him there. In Psalm 107, verse 20, what a great psalm this is. Psalm 107, verse 20 says that he, that is the Lord, sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. Maybe your life is doing great, but emotionally, spiritually, you're drying up because of the pain of a divorce. You need healing, and only God can give you that healing. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you're hurting tonight, you will not find. I don't care if you wind up meeting the Pope tomorrow night in his arms or some nun or whoever, some spiritual person. You're not going to find comfort in their arms. You won't be there. You can find the most spiritual person in the world. Oh, but he's so spiritual. Oh, she's so spiritual. And you're on the rebound of a divorce. Oh, I'm going to confide in them. Watch out. Are you a woman and you've suffered the pain of a divorce? Surround yourself with godly lady friends, Christian women who fear and love God. Very, very important. Guys, hey, if you're hurting, if you've suffered from a divorce, don't surround yourself with some woman who is going to counsel you on this. Get with godly men. Number two, on being a Christian and surviving a divorce is focusing. Not only healing, you're going to require time and effort to heal, but focusing on this. You will need to redirect your attention after you've gone through a divorce. So what do you mean by that? A divorce is they just don't happen. You don't wake up and there's a divorce. You have been either thinking, discerning, watching, feeling something for a long time that seemed a little off. And things began to escalate. Man, I tell you, I'll share this right now. Listen carefully for whatever it's worth. Too many times, a woman might come to me in the courtyard or something like that, and she'll say, I really need to talk to you. This is the situation. My husband, he's been working later and later hours. And then I've noticed, like in the last 3 weeks, there's been no sexual activity in our home. He doesn't desire me. And he's spending less and less time with the kids or less and less time at home. And I'm really concerned about him. And I say to her, and it doesn't matter who it is, it's just the same answer for me. You pull the string, and this is what I say. I want you to go home today, and I want you to walk up to him, and I want you to ask her what her name is. Whose name? The woman your husband's having an affair with. Oh, no, he wouldn't do that. Do you understand how many times we hear this? Oh, he wouldn't do that. And then a month, 2 months, 3 months later, when she's got the nerve, she'll ask him, and he'll say, it's almost 99%. He'll say, who told you? Divorces just don't happen. And when that feeling begins to creep in your life that something could be wrong, you begin to focus on the reality that this marriage could be over. And you're messed up. And you should be messed up. It's a horrible thing. It shouldn't be happening. I told you before, Billy Graham said that when two Christians who are married get a divorce, then the unbelievers who are watching those people seem to have justification for never coming to Christ. Think about that. If two Christians who look to God, who are born again, can't keep their marriage together, something's very wrong. Why should the world believe in Christ when that very sacred institution with two of his own kids doesn't work? Be careful, because you can begin to focus on all that stuff that went bad and was going bad and did and finally end bad, that now that you are on the other side of a divorce, you can be swallowed up with bitterness and you need to redirect your attention. Be very careful. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, the Bible says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of others." It is, and he says, listen to this, verse 18, "If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay.'" In our pain and in our anger, we can be focusing on the wrong thing and want to embark upon discipline and somehow bringing that person down that hurt you so badly. And God says, listen, I'll take care of you and I'll take care of them. Watch out. Redirect and focusing is vitally important on your life now that you've been abandoned by divorce. Okay. I don't know how to say this, so I'm just going to say it the way I think it's got to come out. Ladies, I'm just talking to you tonight for a second. Ladies, listen. Did your husband leave you for someone else? Did your husband abandon you? Did he divorce you? Did he leave you? And you have kids? Do you have kids in your factor? Do you have kids in your situation? And he left you? Maybe he didn't want to be married to a Christian anymore, or maybe this, maybe that, but he's gone. What do you do now? You've got little ones. He's gone. Well, listen, some of you may have a hard time with this counsel, but here it comes. If he abandoned you and you've got kids, there is no contradiction with letting the Lord deal with the revenge. That's God's business. You understand that? You let God deal with him. But you've got to raise now little ones. And what you need to do is become the mama bear in that home. If you've been abandoned by a man and you are now on that other end of divorce, you need to be the mama bear and protect your children against this crazy bear, this man that's gone off the deep end. Because far too many times we see a man who abandons the home, he winds up having second thoughts or selfish thoughts, some other kind of thoughts 6 months later, comes back into the home in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it's just visiting or whatever he does, and winds up turning the kids against the mother, and she winds up having nothing anymore. It's evil. It's just evil upon evil.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Being a Christian and Surviving Divorce. It's part of the Life and the Bible series, which we've been presenting here on Real Radio, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Now, we have had quite a bit of response regarding this series. Once again, it's called Life and the Bible. And what we heard on today's broadcast serves as a good example of what you'll hear throughout the series. Life and the Bible is now available for purchase on either CD or DVD. Visit us at realradioactive.org to learn more, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you'll also be able to click the graphic that tells you more about our television outreach called Journey. Journey with Jack Hibbs is seen on television and the internet, and we invite you to see that as well. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.